The deaths last week of Uday and Qusay Hussein ended a frustrating 3-month search for the two sons of Saddam Hussein. The brothers were finally trapped in a house in the northern Iraq city of Mosul after an informant led U.S. troops to the hideout. Reporter Matthew McAllister of Long Island Newsday interviewed one of Uday Hussein's bodyguards this past week. Friday, he published the story of life with Saddam Hussein, his sons, and closest advisors during the last days of the regime. I spoke with McAllister from Baghdad yesterday, and he described the Hussein family's reaction to America's quick victory over Iraqi forces.
They were in shock. They had spent months preparing for the attack on Baghdad, in particular in Iraq on the whole, but especially Baghdad. They'd constructed three rings of defenses, and they were convinced, apparently, amazing as it sounds, that they could withstand the American attack. They'd not prepared for the possibility of having to go into hiding or to mount a resistance campaign. And so when April the 9th happened, the famous day when we'll watch the statue topple, Uday was in a private house in Baghdad watching it on TV like everyone else, and the rest of the family and the close aides of Saddam and the two brothers.
So Saddam and his two sons were in Baghdad at the same time that American forces were patrolling the streets?
Yeah, there was one instance when after the Americans were there, Uday, being driven, in a private car, a civilian car, passed a whole convoy of American vehicles, made derogatory jokes about one of the rather red-faced soldiers. So they were within yards of American soldiers at times and moved around with the same freedom that they'd moved around during the war itself.
At one point, actually, the United States thought it had pinpointed Saddam Hussein and had launched a missile attack on a house in Baghdad where the forces thought they were, but apparently they weren't and fled the house just minutes before. What was that about? What happened there?
Well, this is Saddam had apparently been becoming suspicious of a particular member of his entourage, a captain. I don't know his name. He wasn't identified. And Saddam felt that this was a traitor amongst their midst. And so they arranged this meeting house, this safe house, near a restaurant called Al-Saar in the Mansour district. They walked in the front door and walked straight out of the back door. And 10 minutes later, the four bunker-busting bombs that we had heard about dropped onto the house and caused this enormous crater. And this, to Saddam, confirmed the captain's treachery, and he ordered one of his bodyguards to execute the man, which he did.
What was the bodyguard able to tell you about the mood of members of the Hussein family during this time?
Well, it was interesting. Uday, in particular, was horribly violent playboy who would sleep during the day and then wake at night and do what we all know he did. But what he had done is in 1992 established Saddam's Fedayeen, a ragtag sort of non-conventional militia. And the Fedayeen had been the most successful of element of the Iraqi military's attacks on the American convoys as they made their way from Kuwait towards Baghdad. So Uday's standing among the regime circles and with his father in particular had risen, and he was really encouraged by this, very cheered. And one stage the bodyguard described to me about how Saddam had sent his oldest son a letter congratulating him, and this was the sort of paternal approval that the out-of-favor son had been seeking and had been missing for several years. So he was pretty happy. On the other hand, he was also watching his palaces being bombed. And then the mood dipped as the Americans came into Baghdad. There was just, like I said, this sense of shock, and they just hadn't expected it.
Did they still think they had the forces to fight the Americans after the Iraqi army had collapsed? Were you told at all what kind of resistance was planned?
No, specifically wasn't planned, because they'd been so convinced that they would be able to defend the city. But he was clear that the resistance wasn't reliant on Saddam, Uday, or Qusay. This was something that was also being driven by Islamic and nationalist feelings among certain elements of the Iraqi population. And so it would go on, he said, as indeed it has since I spoke to him on Thursday, in spite of the deaths of these two sons, and even if Saddam himself were to be killed or captured.
So this resistance will continue, these attacks on Americans will continue, regardless of the deaths of the two sons, you think?
That was very much his feeling, and also the feeling of his father, who was present also at the interview, another former bodyguard, this time of Saddam himself. They said, yes, you know, this will go on. This is not about Saddam being alive anymore. This is about Americans being in our country.
Is the bodyguard concerned about his own safety?
Well, I asked him, and he said simply, no, I've done nothing wrong. Now, I've seen this mentality in other former regime. I've interviewed some Muhabarat torturers and interrogators, and they too have this slightly deluded, I would say, impression that they've done nothing wrong. They've simply been loyal servants of their government, you know, not a regime, not a dictatorship, their government and their country. And they, you know, were doing their jobs and doing their national duty. And that's his take on it. I wouldn't imagine it would be the Americans' take should they find him.
What do you think happens next? I mean, with the death of the two sons, you've said that the resistance is going to continue. But what about the father?
Well, I put this to the bodyguard that, you know, the father must be very lonely now. He's without his sons. He's without Abd Hamoud, his private secretary, who's in custody, and many of the other so-called deck of cards. And I said, well, who will be sheltering him? And the bodyguard and his father said, well, not his family, because Saddam had become, you know, and when he says family, he means extended family. Saddam had apparently become very suspicious of them. And I can only imagine that it is just sympathetic villagers or friends. And I can't see how long that could last with this betrayal, as it were, of Uday and Qusay for the reward money. I can only imagine that it's just a matter of days or weeks, perhaps, before someone does the same for Saddam, no matter where he is. He's without his support structure, it seems to me.
Matthew McAllister is a correspondent for Long Island Newsday, and he spoke with us from Baghdad. Thank you very much.
Thank you.